is Nonhlanhla Ncube Ndaba. I'm the chairperson of this ad hoc committee. Wenzani wena eh? No, awulaleli, listening is a skill. I said Honorable Van der Merwe. I don't want Honorable Velma's interpreters to be obstructed. Honorable Velma, are you okay with your interpreters on that side? Oh, okay.
Oh.
Buza yena umkhwenyana wakho lebenten lapho. Okay, that was on the lighter note. Very cool. You know, she always like to ambush me, yeah? Hey, wena. My name is Nonhlanhla Ncube Ndaba. I'm the chairperson of this ad hoc committee. Yeah, we are 11 members, and all of us are going to ask you questions. You have only 47 minutes with us. In fact, you've got 45. The other 2 minutes is meant for interpretation for Honorable Khawula. So you have 3 minutes to answer to any question that will be asked by any member, and the 2 minutes, it's meant for honorable members to ask you questions. You must refrain from giving history, background, because you'll miss a point whereby you'll have to answer a question and you're busy telling us a story. Hey, in Northern Cape is a desert or is dry or the rain and what. You'll miss a point. So we won't score you when you tell us all those things. You are just going to score you when you give us the relevant answer. And then you must be free, feel free and relax. You must smile with members if you feel like smiling. Those members who put a straight face like myself, disregard that. Don't mind them. You know, if they are not ugly, they are not. So just leave them like that. But feel free. If you didn't hear a question, you may also request the member to repeat the question. Other people that are here, you must know, ne? Everybody in South Africa is watching you. Even your province, eh, is watching you. So any mistake that you do, you would have misrepresented your province. Yeah. So feel free, ne? Yeah. The first question is about yourself. Who are you? Where are you coming from? Where are you going? And why have you applied for this position? And why do you think you are a suitable candidate to be appointed to be one of the commissioners of CGE?
Thank you. Good morning. I don't know whether should I say ladies and gentlemen, but I think I'll use that because it's the proper English that I was being taught. Thank you for inviting me to be here. My name is Rachel Kidisaletse Mahlaba. I'm a South African woman with a disability. I'm physically disabled, mobile, without assistance. I use crutches. But because of the environment here, I had to borrow this wheelchair. So my disability is physical disability. I think I'm the suitable candidate because of my knowledge, the knowledge that I've got when it comes to transformation. And as a woman with a disability, an African woman, I think I possess more knowledge that I need to share and implement with the aim of promoting gender equality. That's why I have applied for the position. My qualifications, I've got a matric. I'm a teacher by profession, but by occupation, I'm a senior admin officer at Transnet. I worked in the public sector, the Department of Labor. I worked for the Department of Agriculture. I'm now working at the Department of, I'm working at Transnet now. And my interest in the post as a commissioner is to say, all this time I've been exploring other fields. Now it is time that the knowledge, the skills that I have acquired during my period in my career of working in the open labor market, I need to implement that. And I felt that if I apply for this position and I get appointed in this position, I will be able to implement that raw knowledge, that raw talent that I've been sitting with. And this position will give me an opportunity to utilize this raw talent, and it will be beneficial, not for me, but for the society that I'm living in, because gender equality is something that is very close to my heart. Because as a woman, I know the experience, I know the challenge, I know each and everything regarding gender equality, gender oppression, gender transformation. And as a person with a disability, I think I also bring some spices to dealing with these issues, because I will be taking it from a total different angle. And in a way, it will also be a mechanism for prevention of disability that is caused by the imbalances of gender equality that is being created by domestic violence.
Thank you very much. Honorable Maros and Honorable Velma, Honorable Standa, Honorable Tembegwayo, Honorable Kaula, Maluleke, Maisela, Tseke, and Van der Merwe.
Good afternoon. I'm Denise Robinson. I'm impressed by your passion and what you've already said to us. The Gender Equality, the Commission, is not an organization that has a lot of money, a vast budget. So this is a constraint within which one needs to move and work, particularly with regard to people in rural areas, and that's where my heart lies. I was just wondering what you could do to maximize the opportunities you have, knowing that you won't have a big budget and you've got to be creative. Thank you.
If you have to implement, you don't have to have a lot of money. The little that you have, you can make use of it. And as a woman, there is no one who is as strategic as a woman. And it's a bonus, it's a cherry on top if you are a woman with a disability. Because the person who can strategize more is women with disabilities. Because we know how to face barriers and challenges in the time of need. And rural areas, as a member of the Disabled People South Africa, an organization that is advocating for the rights of people with disabilities, We have partnership with different organizations. Amongst them, we do meet with rural women, we do meet with rural people. Like, as we said, the budget is not big. But what we believe in as Africans is to say, you bring something on the table for you to work on, to can do something. It's not an issue of waiting for something to be brought to you before you can do something with it.
Okay, next. Honorable Standard. Oh, it's Honorable Velma.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. And good day. I am Wilma Newhoek-Druchen. I use South African Sign Language, and voicing for me is my sign language interpreter, Delphin. Thank you for your introduction, and thank you for being here. In your introduction, you said that all the skills and all the talents that you've learned in the past, that you want to use it. You want to bring your talents to the Gender Commission, especially as a person with a disability. Could you explain what exactly are you bringing? Could you give us some examples of what you would bring, from the knowledge you have gained, and what would you bring to the Commission, especially using that knowledge to assist women with disabilities, children with disabilities, other vulnerable groups. So all the sum of all the knowledge you've gained, how would you use it to use it on the CGE? Can you give us some examples? Thank you.
If I can give an example, I'll take a practical example. If I say knowledge, it's knowledge that I have acquired during my period, because I've met different people from different backgrounds. For example, now I've also realized that there's still a lot that we need to do, because it seems as if when we talk about domestic violence, people are still a little bit of ignorant. I know the chairperson has asked me not to tell a story, but I will relate something. There was a child with a disability, intellectual disability, who was a victim of a rape. Because of our involvement in that community, we came to realize that the community, some of them are not even aware of the different types of abuse that are existing, like verbal abuse. Then we had just a small, it was last week Friday on the 8th of March, we have a small community information session where we shared this. And to our victory as an organization, together with those people we partnered with, to our victory, for me it was a victory, because the victim was there. But I was so happy because the victim didn't feel traumatized. The victim, while we danced, she was also dancing, even though the victim suffered such an indecent incident. And for the fact that, if you look at the history of people with disabilities, we were not in the open. So sometimes the perpetrators, they tend to use them because their crimes will not come in the open. But with the knowledge that I have acquired, with incidents that I have met in the field, outside the field, as an activist, as an employee during the time when I was doing transformation, that information I can bring to the commission. In a way, in simple terms, I can say the strategic goals that are within the strategic plan of the commission, I can take it and make it workable for it to be suitable to the person on the ground.
Hi, good afternoon, ma'am. My name is Terry Stander. I'm a member of the committee. Ma'am, what is your view on current issues facing women, sex work, the LGBTIQA+ community, abortion, traditional councils and leadership, and specifically the issues facing widows in traditional and in the jurisdiction of traditional leaders, and the property rights? What is your view on those pieces of legislation as a means to empower women and create gender equality? Thank you.
Regarding those issues, we know that each and every citizen of South Africa has got the right of association. And being one of those people who attended the international HIV AIDS in 2014 in Melbourne, I came to meet with those people and get their view. So, in my view, each and every person need to be respected of what he or she chooses. And the acts that they are having within the commission, I've seen the Gender Commission Act. It doesn't say that we should criticize. It says we should respect. And those legislations, we just have to march on the other line with those people, because without them, we will not know where they are going. That is my view. Because I cannot come and criticize you because you are a Muslim, I am a Christian. You've got your belief and I've got my belief. And according to the Constitution, the CGE is being guided by a clause within the Constitution. And those people also, in the Bill of Rights, they've also got their rights.
Thank you, Chairperson. Me Matlaba, I'm Mrs. B. Maluleke. I'm just happy because you touched on the Act, the CGE Act. So I would like you to share with us your understanding on the core function of the CGE and its powers. And also highlight to us how are you going to make sure that these functions and powers are realized or implemented. Thank you.
For me to implement, I need to be guided by legislation. So the first legislation is the highest of them all, which is the Constitution. And then within the CGE, there is this Constitution, there is this Act that will give me an understanding. What I understand about this Act is that it explains the functions of the commission. It explains the powers of the commission. And it explains what the commission needs to do. Among them, the commission should not be biased. Among them, the commission should analyze policies. And the commission has got powers over parliament, over government, over parastatal and other institutions within within South Africa. And if I have to elaborate more, it means I will have to give a big summary of the Act.
You still have time.
Can I elaborate? Okay. I will give an example. The commission can conduct an investigation. An investigation where, for example, I come to the commission, I lay a complaint of discrimination as a woman because my employer couldn't give me this position because I'm a woman. I can lay a complaint within the commission and they can investigate. And as they investigate, they need not be biased. They need not favor. But at the end of the day, their results should be that one that will benefit me or the person, because there is a right holder and the one who needs to implement those rights. So I will, if the victim and the complainant, I will be the right holder and the commission will be the one who needs to implement that right. And there are different policies, and among those policies, the commission has to ensure that there's no discrimination, especially when it comes to the imbalance between women and men. By the way, gender for me, it's not according to the Act. Gender is female and male. But LGBTI, it's sexual orientation. And gender doesn't mean that only the issues of women. The issues of men need also be taken into consideration. And the commission will also be guided by international legislations. For example, there is an agenda. In the past, we used to have the Millennium Developmental Goal, but now we are having the agenda on sustainable developmental goal. In that document, which is for 20, I'm just sure about the year, but I think it's for 2023, within it, goal number 5 is specifically for gender equality. So that is the legislations that will guide the commissions what they need to do, and they should be in part.
Unfortunately, your time is up. SDG 28. That's what you wanted to say, ne?
Thank you very much, Dr. Susan Tembekwayo, and welcome, Ms. Mahlaba. Since you are experienced in conducting research on needs analysis per outcome, I would like you to take us through on how you would conduct needs analysis paired with information dissemination to determine the failures of CGE. And secondly, how would you advise those involved in legislations about the desired findings you reached in order to ensure operating efficiency and inclusivity within CGE? I thank you.
As a point of departure, the legislation is there. But where is the legislation need to be implemented? Within our communities. So, what I will do, because I will be coming in, working into a field that has been worked, even though there may be failures, what I will do, I will check the reports of the past commissioners who came in for me. And then there cannot be maximum failures. In this era, I believe that there cannot be. Because if there could have been a maximum failure, I couldn't have been sitting where I am now. Then what I will do after these reports, the gaps that are there, I've already checked now. I've checked the strategic plan of 2018, that ended in 2018. There's a new one from the 1st of April 2018 up to 2030. I've already checked that. So I will look, because that time it will be my duty. I will be able to go through that. And always, there is nobody whom I need to serve, like the people in South Africa. I will go back to them. Like now, yes, there are gaps. There are some failures. But I can tell you, they are in a minimum, those failures. And with this knowledge that I'm having, those partnerships that I formed, some of those partnerships, they are not even within the boardrooms of certain departments. I will bring them on board. I will engage with the Premier's office, the Office on Status of Women. I will engage with the Office on the Rights of the Child, because within our legislation, the girl child is also part of our target groups that we need to. To render a service as a commission for gender equality. Not leaving the boy child behind, because there are new challenges that are cropping up. That is why you are having the men sector now. Of which the men sector, they also have to come on board and be part of the implementation processes of the Commission on Gender Equality.
Next.
Thank you, Chair. Do you mind if you, I may, you explain some things here that you seem to be very knowledgeable about, especially about the gender equality principles and what it stands for. Would you actually tell us what is their strategic objective in solving this problem of equality? How do they go about? Because they don't just want to define the gender equality problematic. They want to find a solution to it. What strategic objective, I mean, what tactics or strategies are you going to use to achieve this objective? Because it's evolving as the society changes and the relations changes. Now, before, there was nothing like a gender equality commission because men were patriarchal. But before patriarchy, you know, there was matriarchy, and then men transcended and became patriarchs because they brought the bread on the table. He who brings bread on the table decides how many slices it must be cut in. But what I wanted you to get to tackle here is that prevention is better than cure. And if you want to prevent something in society, you inculcate it in the children so that they grow knowing what to do. What type of strategies do you have or you bring to this gender equality committee? Because I think you are a bit knowledgeable about certain things, especially legislation and all sorts of things, but this is a societal thing, community thing. How do you intend to tackle it? Thank you.
Let me say, already the table is set. What I need to do, I will just be bringing different menus to the table. And there's something that is continuous. That's why in some of our strategic plans, when we have to put a time frame, we'll say continuous. And that is awareness raising. Awareness raising, awareness raising, awareness raising. Because there are, yes, it's true, there are different patterns in society that are cropping up. So if we don't keep on doing that awareness, somewhere the information will be lost. And each and every information needs to be renewed. And with the principles of the gender the gender condition equality, those principles, they are workable. If you look at something that was introduced because of the process of trying to curb domestic violence, the protection order is working. And in the past, the community used to think that the protection order is something that is bringing tension in the family, or the protection order is something that is destroying family, out of ignorance. But because awareness was raised around the protection order, now the community are using it to benefit. That's why I worked in the court last time, where I had to go and deal with a protection order that was affecting my family. I was surprised that some women were sitting there, married women, coming to make a protection order. And some of them, when you know where women are, they engage in conversation. I could sense that awareness somewhere, it was paused. So that pause button needs to be pressed so that awareness can keep on going. Because if awareness keep on going, we won't have a lot of cases that are being scratch off the roll because of lack of information or lack of evidence, and people saying the justice system is failing us. Because at the end of the day, what the commission is doing is going to reflect on other departments. For example, the Department of Justice, the Department of SAPS, their performance will be dependent, especially on the issue of domestic violence. It will depend here and there, not totally. A certain percentage of it will be determined by what the CGE will be doing.
Brandela, you went. Honorable Kola.
Ngibonge Sihlalo. Ngikubingelele emhlonishwa Matlana. Mina ngusibongile Makoti.
Kaula.
Okwami nje
Kaula. Thuba ngikamalathi.
Usibongile ma.
Yena so that check ukuthi ubizi gamela right.
Ngibiza ngesibongo Matlala, Matlaba.
Yeah, Matlaba.
Yes. NgesiZulu Mahlaba ngokwethu. Angazi kubizahle mana.
Because
that's not my surname, it's my late father's surname. Oh, to be honest, I don't know
what my name is. So, get in. You're
writing to Matlaba.
Am I correct when I say Matlaba?
You are not right, it's Matlaba. And I become offended if you call my father's surname in a wrong
way.
But anyway, let's proceed.
And call this thing a name. No, mina kwami nje kugode bengithi ngifuna ukubuza la. Lana ngama 1960s. Abantu bakithi besifazane imost ibona babegcwele lapha komkhumbane, komayville, ko Overport, ko Newland East, bakhishwa kabuhlungu endlini, bahamba bayofakwa komashu kanjalo njalo komlazi engikhumulayo nje njengoba abakamashu ababe kwamashu bahamba bayofakwa lapha emap endlini zamabhodi ngoba ngesikhathi sobandlululo lezi zindlu bathe so base bakhela izindlu o one room or o two room or o four room lapha yana sekukhona isizukulwane nesizukulwane. Manje okubhlungu la engithi ngifuna ukwazi ngani yami njengoba ulapha umhlonishwa ukuthi ungasiza kanjani. Lapha eNewland East isekhona imhlaba liyamhlaba isalele namathuna khona khona bekukhona amakhosi ukhona induna ngesikhathi besuzu. Mangaba abantu bakithi beyokwakha kule ndawo bayahlukumeza bayashawa bayaboshwa ogogo abadala. Kufuneka nabantu bakithi bahlale lana okuzohlala khona kabuhlungu njoba lo sikhala ukuthi bayareshwa neyingane zabo ziyahlukumezeka ngani mawubheka lezi ndawo ehlala abantu bakithi abasuswe endaweni zabo ebabehlala kahle endaweni beyifuyele endaweni zabo abakwazi ngisho ukubiyela imindeni yabo ukuthi ingakwazi ngifuna ukwazi ukuthi masikhetha ke manje mawuqwenzela manje ungena uzosiza kanjani kulolu daba lemhlaba ekhonelele kodwa abanikazi bayo engazi ukuthi wobani kodwa kwakuyenabanikazi basuswa khona kodwa manje la ndawo ilele kodwa bayaboshwa abantu uzosiza kanjani.
I would like to know just one thing. In the 1960s there were a lot of places where people used to live. Women had places in places like Mkhumbane, Newlands East, Newlands West. These people were then removed from these places. They were taken to places where they were given two-roomed houses and four-roomed houses. And at that time, they had headmen, izindunas, chiefs, amakhosi, but because of growth, they can no longer now live in one place. There is also vacant land. This land is supposed, they keep on saying that it's going to be returned to these people. These people, if they build their places or their houses, they are harassed or removed forcefully by police. They are assaulted. They are they cannot even secure their own family homes. What I would like to know from you, if you are selected, how would you assist these people from being forcefully removed from these places?
Unfortunately, before the 1960s, I was not born. I was born in 1964, but being born in a farm, I know those heartaches. and being a South African citizen, being a child of the soil, I know those. But what I can do is that we're speaking about integration, and we're speaking about mainstreaming. And within the Department of Agriculture, there is a program that is known as Women in Agricultural Development. And the Department of Agriculture is the custodians of the land. And they're not doing it alone. They are doing it together with the Department of Land Affairs. So it is very important then that when the commission forms partnership, it should form partnership with such departments so that it should be strategic when it comes to influencing the processes of land redistribution. I can allude to an issue where people who had land, who were forcefully removed from land. I will speak from the Northern Cape experience. People who were removed from a land, that they were returned to that land. I can give Peniel as an example of one of the land that was returned to the proper owners of that land. I can speak about Smith's Drift in the Pixley Sakaseme district, where the land was also returned to the rightful owners. I can even speak of one example of the land of a farm. We grew up in a farm. It is Nooit Gedacht. When we lodged a claim, that farm, the owner didn't want that farm to give us back the farm, but the farm was substituted. So if we influence these processes in the name of gender equality, we'll be able to return all those women whom the injustice were done to them, by forming partnership, integrating and mainstreaming gender equality issues into the different strategic plans of the different departments.
Honorable Van der Werve.
Good afternoon.
Hello,
I'm Liesel Van der Werve. Ma'am, one of the challenges we find with the Commission for Gender Equality is not only the fact that it's got limited resources, but often it does good work, and it compiles reports, but we find that the relationship between the Commission for Gender Equality and other government departments, for example, is not great. They are often ignored, or reports are ignored, and so then the perception is that they don't have teeth to execute their mandate and to ensure gender equality. So my question to you is, if you would be to appoint it as a commissioner, what ideas or what solutions could you put on the table to ensure that the CGE better hold to account government departments that fail our women?
I've been there. When we started implementing transformation issues, the target groups, in 2003, we were informed in different departments that it is an unfunded mandate. But if you take your plans and mainstream them, integrate them in those who've got funded mandate, you can achieve something. I will give you a practical example. I was doing special programs in the Department of Agriculture, and I only had administrative budget, and the unit for farmer settlement, for food security, because their mandate was funded. What I did, the program that they come with, I take this program of mine that I'm having, and then I just integrate it into their program, and it worked wonders. That's why we are having a farmer with a disability in the Northern Cape.
Honorable Sege.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good afternoon, Ms. McClough. One of the questions that we ask in the questionnaire that you have completed, it's what is your understanding of the key challenges that our country, South Africa, faces in terms of gender equality. And you mentioned a few, being one, poverty, education, health, violence against women. And I'm interested in this fifth answer that you gave. Yeah, you gave armed conflict. So I want you to be detailed, to give us details about what do you mean in terms of armed conflict in South Africa, and how does it affect gender equality in the context of the country that we're staying in?
Armed conflict, the reason why I mentioned it is because you will find our children going abroad. And when they go abroad, for example, if I can give a practical example, they will go to a country. It's just an example. They will go to a country like Nigeria. And there, there'll be Boko Haram. And when they take hostages, it happens that one of our children or one of our citizens is there, and it's women. What do they do to them? Number one, it's armed conflict, but this person is a woman from South Africa. What do they do with the women? Because of those grudges that they are still having. It's just that when I answered that, I could just give only in points. But there are stories attached to that, of which, for me, I didn't think that it's relevant that I should go deeper into that story. But that is the example that I can give currently. Like now, even if it's not an armed conflict, it can create the involvement of our military for the safety of those people to come back home.
That concludes the question, eh? Thank you very much, Rachel, for coming. You'll hear from us in due course after we've deliberated all the interviews. Is there anything that you want to ask the honourable members? Okay. Thank you very much. It's 10 to 1. I think you are invited for lunch. Ne? Yeah, it's fine. You are invited for lunch. You must fly safe back to Northern Cape. Wish you good luck. And thank you very much for coming once more. Yeah. I think we are going to have the last candidate so that we go for lunch. We break for lunch. Tembe. Ebo. Tembe.
The 76 is only coming later. The one from...
Did she say there's lunch now or one more candidate before lunch? Well, yeah, because I heard her say one more. I'm seeing people walking out, but she said one more candidate. 7.5. Why? Like, what? There's nothing cheaper than what? Oh, so you wanted a bachelor, you didn't want to share. If you want, if you're looking for a bachelor, then it's understandable. Because they can go as high to as high as like 10k. Yeah, so. What do you mean? Is it the place or prices? Oh. You know, it's pretty bad. Like, it's better in the, like, once you go to Pinelands, I mean, like, what kind is that? What's this place? Where is it? What's this place? Not Pinelands. Forgot it, man. Yeah, it's a bit far. Parklands. Like the Parklands area. Like it's rent is. I'm just saying rent is better than that. Yes. Because people pay like 3.5 for that side. 3.5, 4k. What's that? Pretoria. It's for me, like in Durban is actually, I think an apartment you could find for maybe 6k here, you can find for like 4k in Durban. And furnished, no? Like they're not bringing food here this time, because they usually bring the food in. Looks like they're gonna go eat elsewhere. I don't know. Thank you. Are you rushing someone? Are you rushing someone?
No, I'm just looking for the candidate.
Where is the candidate?
Mr. Tembe, advocate. Good afternoon, and you are welcome.